I mentioned when I first stood up this morning that we're missing some kind of good things that the Lord has for us, is what Philemon 6 is telling us. If we're not sharing our faith, if we're not active in sharing our faith, we're missing out on something. Some understanding of some good things that God has for us. And so let's look at this morning how to share your faith in Jesus with anyone, anywhere, anytime. The Proverbs, God tells us in Proverbs that he who wins souls is wise. Don't believe the false thinking that I don't have the gift of evangelism. I don't share my faith that much. No. The evangelist is supposed to teach us how, teach us all, equip us all a little bit better to be sharing our faith, the one with that gift. But he who wins souls is wise, is what God says. And I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you'll have a good understanding of every good thing you have in Christ. So let's learn from Jesus. Let's learn from the Master, the one who's best at sharing, the one who is the very good news himself. Look at John chapter 4 and let's just look at Jesus and let's watch him encounter a woman at a well around 2,000 years ago. Let's watch him in action and let's learn and let's take it to heart and see what we can take with us to help us share our faith. So go to John chapter 4. And we're going to read this story. We're going to read 1 through 42. So listen to God's word. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Well, how can we learn from Jesus here to share our faith with anyone, anywhere, just like he did sitting down at that well? Well, I want to make it memorable for you. I want to put it in a way that you can take it with you and remember it. So we're just going to spell share Jesus. Share Jesus. So you can write that down if you're writing anything. Let's let the S stand for Spirit-filled. How do you share Jesus with anyone, anywhere? Well, you need to be Spirit-filled. It's not going to make a bit of difference. You can share all you want, but unless you're Spirit-filled, that's the difference. You need to be filled with the Spirit. That's God's command to us. And in Ephesians 5, God says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. God gives us an example that being filled with the Spirit is like being drunk. But he says, don't do that. What happens when somebody gets drunk? Well, they lose control. They're under the influence of alcohol. Alcohol now controls their thoughts and their words and how they act and what they're saying and what they do. Well, God says, don't do that, but like it, be similar to it, be filled with the Spirit. Let my Spirit be in control of your thoughts, your words, your actions. Let my Spirit change how you behave and what you do and what you're thinking of. And be filled with my Spirit. Not alcohol. Be filled with the Spirit. And that is the only way to live the Christian life. That is God's way. That is the only way to share Jesus with anybody, is to be filled with the Spirit. That's why Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, he said, you guys need to wait. Don't go out and make disciples. You need to wait for this power from on high that's going to come. And then when you receive that, he said in Acts chapter 1:8, that the power of the Spirit would come. He said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But the power would come. The Spirit would come. Be filled with the Spirit. So make sure you're filled before you go sharing Jesus with anybody. Be filled and stay filled is what the Greek means in that Ephesians 5 passage. Well, that's your S, Spirit-filled. Next, the H is, he is with you. He is with you. Depend on your partner. He knows what he's doing. Jesus is with you. If you're a believer, he's in you. You take him everywhere you go. And if you're filled with his Spirit, he is in you. And he's trying to live his life out through you. So he is with you. Depend on your partner. He knows what he's doing. Look at verses 1 and 2. He knows what he's doing. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. Jesus was baptizing. Now, he didn't do it. The disciples did it, but they did it only as he approved it. But he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to gain and baptize disciples. And he's with you. He's in you. He's your partner. So depend on your partner. And that's the H. So be Spirit-filled. He is with you. Next, act on his plan. The A stands for act on his plan. You need to know his plan. In verse 4, Jesus knew his plan. He had a plan. It said now he had to go through Samaria. And so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. And that doesn't mean that he had to go to Samaria geographically, like that's the way he had to go. Now, he was in the south. He was in Judea in the south, if you imagine a map. And then Samaria was next, this big region. And then above that was Galilee. And so he had to go through Samaria to get there. But that's not how the Jews did it. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans at all, as we read about. You know, how are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan. And so most of the Jews would, the Jordan River ran to the east, to the right, if you were looking on a map. And most of the Jews would just go on the other side of the Jordan River and bypass Samaria that way, not even go through there and see those people. That's how they felt about it. But you see, Jesus had a plan. He had a mission. And it says now he had to go through Samaria because he was filled with the Spirit. He was following the Father's will, and he knew he needed to go there. That was on the agenda, to go through Samaria to Samaria. And so you need to act on his plan. You need to know his plan and act on his plan. Well, we know, if you're a believer, you know we're to be making disciples. That's what he told us. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And so we're to be making disciples. And so we have his plan. We know his plan. And I've got three words under this act on his plan. And they're all M's. Think of made, meeting, and making. A lot of y'all know I've changed the banquet body and bringing, because Anna and I were driving in the car and we saw somebody. Oh, we were on the way to school and we saw somebody about to cross the road, and we said, "You want to pray for this person?" "Yeah, yeah, let's pray for him." So I prayed that time and I said, "Lord, Father, I pray that this person would be at your banquet with your body, bringing others." And amen, amen. And then a couple seconds later, I said, "Do you know what I meant by that?" "Well, maybe." It's real sketchy. And so I like this better. Made, meeting, making. Here's God's goal for us and every single person we encounter and come in contact with. What's our job? If you're a believer, you're to be making disciples. So we need to, anybody you see, have they been made new? Are they meeting together? And are they making disciples? That's the process. Anybody I come in contact with, that should be my goal. I'm with this person. Have they been made new? Are they a believer yet? And then if I find that out, are they meeting together? God says, Hebrews 10:25, do not give up meeting together. Every believer is supposed to be meeting together with the believers regularly. And a group of 12, so to speak, is the best place for a believer to do that. That smaller group where they can have that koinonia fellowship. And that's a meeting together. And then every believer has got to get to the point where they're making disciples. Are they making disciples? And so you can pray that quickly for somebody. Father, I pray that this man I'm looking at, I pray that he'd be made new, that he'd be meeting together and he'd be making disciples. Know his plan. Know God's plan and act on his plan. Next, recognize right timing. The R stands for recognize. Recognize right timing. You know, it might not feel like a good time to share your faith with somebody. What does it say in verse 6? It says, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. It's about noon. You think he felt like striking up a conversation and making disciples? Now you got to remember, he was 100% human too. He was tired from the journey. But he did. He did. Recognize the right timing. Recognize God's timing. You may feel, everything in the world might be telling you, you might be feeling like you're with this person and you're just so tired, you don't feel like talking about the Lord. And I remember sitting in a doctor's office a while back and feeling like that. Just like, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to say a word. I just wanted to sit there and wait till they said, Derek. But there was somebody next to me. And the Lord convicted me. And it was basically saying to my spirit, strike up a conversation. So I didn't feel like it. But I said, hey, how you doing? Started talking. And the Lord did some amazing things that day. He did some awesome things through that conversation. So, be Spirit-filled. He is with you. Act on His plan. Recognize right timing. Be sensitive to those times, especially when you don't feel like it and stuff like that. Is it God's time? And then the E stands for inner conversation. Strike up a conversation. Verse 7 and 8. When a Samaritan woman came to Him, He's tired, He's hot from the journey. When a Samaritan woman came, and Jews and Samaritans don't even talk, so He certainly could have not said a word to her. They don't even associate. And so, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. He struck up a conversation. He had every reason not to. Inner conversation, that's your E on share. Inner conversation, strike up a conversation with somebody. And you say, oh, I'm reserved. I'm a quiet person. I don't talk much. Let me wait on the next point here. No. They might be the same way. If you're going to make disciples, you got to strike up a conversation. If you have trouble thinking of something to talk about, use fire, F-I-R-E. Family. Start talking to them about their family. Most people like to talk about their family. Hey, are you married? Do you have any kids? Tell me about them. The I stands for interests. Move from family to interests. What do you like to do? What do you do for a living? What interests you? Go to... The R stands for religion. Hey, do you go to a church anywhere? And the E stands for eternal life. You start talking about religion, move on to eternal life. Hey, what do you think about Jesus? Do you feel like you have a relationship with Him? Like you know Him? Or is that something you're kind of trying to find or what? Move there. Fire. Inner conversation. The J stands for Jesus and His gift. Talk about the gift of God and Jesus. That's what He did in verse 10. But let's recap so far. So if we're going to share Him anywhere, anytime, make sure you're Spirit-filled. He is with you. Act on His plan. Recognize right timing. Inner conversation. And then Jesus and His gift. That's what to talk about. Eventually, get there in your conversation. Jesus and His gift. Talk about the gift of God and Jesus. That's what He did in verse 10. He strikes up that conversation. Will you give me a drink? And then in verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. Well, we have some great tools to do that. When you leave here, there's a little basket of pocket crosses. There's some tracks like this on the table out there when you leave here. Always have these with you. These are incredible tools to make disciples, to be sharing Jesus with anybody, anywhere. So you enter that conversation, have some of these in your purse and pocket, and then talk about Jesus and His gift. Talk about the gift of God. He mentioned, if you knew the gift of God, you can just ask the person, do you know about the gift God, the gift that God has for you? Do you know about that? Began to talk about that. The gift of God and Jesus. Bring up the name of Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, He was lifted up on that cross. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to Myself. And the saying carries through today is, as long as we're lifting up Jesus, He will draw all men to Himself. So you just bring up that name of Jesus, start talking about Jesus, and they'll either be repulsed and they won't, I don't want to talk about that, or and that rarely happens, or they're going to be thinking about these things. And And you can do it with one of these crosses. You can, anytime, anywhere, you can just take one of these and say, would you like to have one of these? And they just kind of look at it. It says, Jesus is Lord on it. And I always say, I was after baseball practice yesterday, one of the dads, I was standing with him at the fence watching the next team practice. And we just talked for a little while. And I said, would you like to have one of these? And he was like, oh, yeah. I said, I just keep mine on my keychain. You can keep it on a keychain or in your pocket. I said, it's just a little reminder. You want to bring up the name Jesus. It's just a little reminder anytime you see it, just to let Jesus be above everything. And, oh, yeah. And then it has our church schedule on there, too. And you can invite them. You know, hey, come at 9 o'clock. Come check out one of these Bible study groups. And so all of a sudden you're talking about Jesus. They see that cross. And then all of a sudden, you know, you can say, well, how do you feel about him? Do you feel like you have that relationship with him? Yeah, I think so. That's what the guy told me yesterday. Yeah, I do. Great. And you can move here. Once you're talking about Jesus, well, you can ask somebody, well, listen to this about Jesus. You can always mention Psalm 139. You can always tell somebody, you know, God tells us in Psalm 139 that He knows the number of our days, even before one of them came to be. But we don't. I have no idea. You have no idea. Let me ask you something. When your last day comes, whenever that is, are you 100% sure you'll be in heaven, or is that something you're kind of working on or thinking about or what? You know, oh, no, I'm 100% sure. Great. Well, let me ask you one other question. Let's say you did die. Something happened to you. Your last day came and you stood before Jesus and you were face to face with him. And he looked at you and he said, and I like to say their name. Make sure you know their name. And he said to you, Bill, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you tell him? Oh, I've never thought about that. I'd probably tell him that I did this. And you get to those questions, and then you can use this, and you can say, well, listen, you know, this little cover question here, what do you think it takes for a person? This little booklet right here is how the Bible answers that question. What does it take to get to him? You know, who cares what I think or anybody else? You know, this is how does the Bible answer that? What does God say about it? You want to look at it together? 9 times out of 10. Yeah. What's it say? You're sharing the gospel with somebody. Take them through that. So enter that conversation. Jesus and his gift. Use these as tools. Share your testimony. Share what he's doing in your life, what he's been doing. And then the next E stands for emptiness filled. Emptiness filled. Share how he can satisfy their desire. In 13 through 15, the desire, the need is water there. But Jesus talks about how he can satisfy that desire. Jesus says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And so, talk about how he can meet their desires. You know, Jesus is the answer to every desire we have. Desire just manifests itself in tons of different ways. Sometimes people think, I need a relationship. That's all I need, and I'll be fulfilled. Sometimes people think, I just need some more finances, and then I'll be fulfilled. You name it. Anything other than Jesus, it all leads to nothing. It all keeps us empty. The only thing that truly fulfills and brings satisfaction is Jesus. So you can take any need that somebody has, and you can find that way to apply it to Jesus and say, listen, you know, down to the core, the very need that you're expressing is this. You know, Jesus is that. He'll do that. He's what they need. Share how he can satisfy their desire. That's emptiness filled. The S is salvation. Tell them how to get him. How do they get him? Well, just take them through this booklet. In verses 16 through 19, Jesus really just confronts her on her sin. For anybody to ever be saved from their sin and get to know Jesus, they've got to admit they're a sinner, that they have a problem. Otherwise, they don't need Jesus. He's a savior for sinners. He said, I've come not for the righteous, but for sinners. And so anyone who's going to come to him, they have to see their sinfulness first, their need. And so that's what's going on in 16 through 19. Jesus is saying, well, I know you you've had five husbands, and the man you're now with is not your husband. And she knows that conviction. And so take them through here, and that'll be the first point. The A, it's an ABC. The A will stand for admit, and share that. Share those scriptures in here, and helping somebody to admit that they are a sinner. And then the B stands for believe. And then that's what she did eventually. She went and she was telling all these people, you know, this man, she believed. And he said, I who speak to you am he. And eventually, obviously, she believed. And once somebody believes, and it's not just a belief like, oh yeah, I believe Jesus lived. He died on the cross. He was raised from the dead. It's a belief that trusts. It's a belief that, yeah, I believe Jesus did all that for me, and I'm going to him right now. I'm the C, A, B, C, admit you're a sinner, believe that he did all that for you, and the C's call. You know, your belief should be where you trust in him for something. You actually go to him and say, Lord, I need you. I'm a sinner. I believe you did all that for me. I need you. Save me. Come into my life. And you trust him and him alone to save you from your sins. And so tell them how to get him. That's salvation is the S. And then the U is us. Us. What about us? You know, once this person comes to the Lord, somebody that you're sharing with, and they come to the Lord, you know, think about all those people that they know that you can just hear their faint whisper in the distance. Everybody, this person who just got saved that they know, can't you hear all those people that they know saying, what about us? What about us? We don't know him yet. What about us? Ask who they want to tell. Once somebody comes to the Lord, ask them, yeah, hey, who do you want to tell? This is what the woman did. She went out and she started telling everybody, look at what he did for me. We saw one of my second cousin. He was about 9 years old, and we were putting him down to bed. They were staying at our house, him and his little sister, and he hadn't heard hardly anything about Jesus. So we shared the gospel with him, and he believed, and he wanted to give his life to Jesus. And so he prayed, and right after we finished, he said, "We got to find my sister and tell her this. We ask him, who do you want to tell now that you've heard this?" And that's the U. And finally, the S is so many waiting. So many waiting. Keep going. Plenty are ready. Plenty of people everywhere are ready. This is another time that Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. It's ripe. It's ready. In Luke 10:2, Jesus told us to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out workers into the harvest field because it's so ready. There's so many people waiting and ready to receive Jesus, but there's so few workers. So you might want to set your watch to 10:02. It's a call from our North American Mission Board at 10:02, and that alarm goes off. Let it remind you of Luke 10:2, and pray that God would send out workers into his harvest field. And you make sure you're the first one. But then pray that he'll send out workers. There's so many waiting. That's what Jesus is talking about in verse 35 and 36. So many are waiting. And so all together, how can you share Jesus anybody, anywhere? It spells it down the line. Share Jesus. Be Spirit-filled. He is with you. Act on his plan. Recognize right timing. Enter conversation. Jesus and his gift. Emptiness filled. Salvation. What about us is the you. And then so many waiting. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to be active in sharing our faith. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning who's just heard your good news and said, well, that's what I need. Lord, help them right now to call to you and say, Lord, that's me. I admit I'm the sinner. I have sinned against you. I believe, Jesus, that you died for my sins. You took my punishment. I believe you're raised from the dead. And I'm calling on you personally. I'm asking you to save me, Jesus. Come into my life. I give my life to you. Lord, maybe there's somebody else who knows that they've been made new, but they know they need to be meeting together actively somewhere, Lord. And maybe they're realizing this is the church that you want them in. Help them to come and to join this fellowship, Lord. And help all of us, Lord, to be making disciples. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Will you do whatever God tells you to as Chris leads us in this song? If you've given your life to Jesus and you're now following Him and you've received that gift that He has for you that He talked about with the woman, then stand up out of your seat and come when Chris leads us. You come and share that with us. We want to celebrate with you and we need to help you get started on the right track. And then also, if you're joining this fellowship, you've realized God says don't give up meeting together, that we always need to be meeting together as much as possible. And this is the place. If that's what God's telling you, you come and join this fellowship as Chris leads it.